On this show, you will learn how to recognize the patterns used by the psychopaths that are controlling our world, who have created the living hell we find ourselves here, find ourselves in here on planet Earth, where doctors create disease and destroy life and administer biological weapons, nicknamed vaccines, which are corrupting our very genetic structure, where police and the judicial system protect the criminals and persecute the innocent, where governments have become terrorists against the people they purport to serve and commit treason every day by allowing the destruction of our air, water, food, and planet, and, as we keep saying, bringing about more and more false flags, who suppress the natural solutions to all these problems that are already available, who are stealing and torturing our children under the guise of child protection. The ability to see the big picture is a critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to bring these predators down. And I know it's hard to face all this evil, but we're already dead if we do nothing about it. So I encourage all of you to, pump up your backbone and face reality that the people must take action. If you have not yet done so, I strongly suggest you go to my website, reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com. Click on the vaccine-induced disease tab. Print out the four diagrams there. The first one, called the big picture, explains the cause of all disease. And the last one is the big picture of my protocol that reverses all diseases. And, of course, Big Pharma does not appreciate me, doing that. As it turns out, doctors are not allowed to heal people. You actually must create disease and give Big Pharma meds if you are to keep your medical license. So please do check those out and, share it with your friends and family. And certainly investigate vaccines before you allow yourselves, your children, or your pets to be inoculated with these bioweapons. If you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. You can support my work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites, my other site being drcarly.com. That one's a little more scary, so I suggest you start out with reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com. Because on drcarly.com, I talk about inoculations being the weapons of mass destruction. You can help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them from me. To learn how I do consults, click on the services tab on my reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com site. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. I also have a toll-free number, 888-321-6751. On which you can contact me from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. Of course, if you get a strange message that the number's been disconnected, or whatever, have the operator dial it for you. Okay, there's the music. After the break, I'll finish my intro and bring on my very special guest today. Our answer to the question, what's ailing America, is conspiracy of silence regarding vaccine damage. We'll be right back after these messages. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer to this conspiracy of silence regarding vaccine damage. My special guest is Sally L. Cordy. I'll bring her on. I just want to quickly finish my intro. I just have to remind the listeners that I do not practice medicine nor give medical advice. Rather, I teach you what I would do if I were you to reverse disease with natural therapies in people and in pets. Archives of my shows for the past few years on various networks can be found at thelightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. I ask that you wait until the second hour so that I have an opportunity to introduce the topic of the week with my guests. Of course, please support the Republic Broadcasting Network if you appreciate the shows that are broadcast here, and please tell them what your favorite shows are. I also contribute to a weekly newsletter that you can sign up for free at reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com. Go to the bottom of the links page. Okay, as I said, my special guest today is Sally L. Cordy, and I don't even know where to start, Sally. I was thinking about starting with how you got involved with the anti-vaccination movement. In fact, going so far as to saying we need to ban vaccines, and this is your mission, of course, my mission as well. And you had gone to the District of Criminals this past week, so definitely we have to talk about that, your experience in trying to wake up some of the people there that supposedly represent us. But I thought it would be really good for you to tell your personal situation in regards to what happened to your sister. So take it away.
Hi, Dr. Crawley. Total privilege to be on your show. I consider you the smartest woman I know and the most honest. So I'm delighted to speak with you. As usual, you're my friend. My sister was diagnosed as severely mentally retarded, and I did not know that she was not always that way. So she was 8 years older than I was, and she did not live at home. When I was born, she was already institutionalized. However, in around 2009, I started to notice more and more and more children each year who reminded me of my sister. So it got to the point where I had to stop people in the street whose children did remind me of her and say, "Hi, my name's Sally. My sister was severely mentally retarded. What's the matter with your kid?" Which is kind of an outrageous thing to approach people with, but you'd be amazed how relieved they were that someone was that forthcoming. So they would speak to me very candidly, and somewhere in that conversation, they would say, "But the doctor said it wasn't the vaccine." And it just became apparent over speaking to so many parents of these injured children that, in fact, it was the vaccine. So I thought if a shot could turn a thinking, clearly child with potential to live an independent and productive life into my sister, who could not speak, who did not even realize I was her sister, even though I saw her every Sunday of my life, she never realized who we were. You know, we were just people who were taking her out to eat, as far as I know. And I know there was something going on, but I had not a clue what was going on in her head, nor did she in mine. And when I looked into her eyes, I thought, I believe I can see right out, right through the back of her head. There seemed to be nothing going on inside.
Nobody
and I don't
saw.
Want to put her down. You know, I loved her, and I know she had feelings, but she didn't seem to have any intellect. So basically when I realized that it was the vaccine that was turning children who had potential into my sister, I thought, this has to stop. There's no question that this has to stop. And I wrote the initial bill called All Vaccines Are Banned, and it is the most reasonable. It sounds severe, but it is extremely reasonable. And at the time, I did not have the science. I didn't have the ingredients in the vaccine. I didn't have all the diseases that resulted from vaccination. And I didn't have the intent to cause the diseases they claim to prevent. So these are the three things I have now I did not have back then. But I did know that a vaccine could make the difference between a normal child and my sister. That had to go.
Right, and you've gone as far as to actually run for Congress. Sally lives in Manhattan. She has done everything she possibly could to, you know, take on this issue personally.
I've run for office 5 times, for governor twice, for Congress twice, and now I'm running for public advocate, and I'm thinking of running next for court clerk, because I believe I can have make a real difference by doing that. So I'm constantly running at this point because I have been so censored. The first time I ran for governor, they held my mail at the post office and returned it after signatures. The second time, they disrupted my email, one with a virus, and the other one, I had to type endless captions just to get out one single email, let alone a group, you know, email into a group. The third time, I was locked out of Facebook 2 weeks before the election. The fourth time, they disabled my campaign website. And the fifth time, which this is, they censored my radio show to the point where I was cut off of my own show before I even finished announcing the title of it at the beginning.
Right. So, Wait, hold on. So we don't forget, please tell people about your radio show, when can they tune in, etc.
Well, the initial radio show is called The Mary and Sally Show. My sister's name was Mary. My name is Sally. And so I have done an enormous amount of interviewing of parents of vaccine-injured children in an effort to wake up other parents. So that's really been my thrust on that show. My best guest ever was Dr. Carly. I've had her on two particular shows. One was reviewing the ingredients within vaccines. That was just will stand the test of time. And then I had to start a new show. As I say, I got censored off my initial show, and I started a new show called Public Advocate, which served two purposes. One is to advocate for the public, and the other one to promote the fact that I am, in fact, running for New York City Public Advocate.
And that's
so then you came on that show, and we reviewed all the diseases that, or many of them, I won't say all of them by any stretch of the imagination, but many of them on that particular show. And that is, again, I can't promote those two shows enough.
And that's on Blog Talk Radio, correct?
Right. Either the Mary and Sally Show, which I have restarted again, and Public Advocate, as well as Sally is spelled with an I-E. That throws people for a loop, so don't be thrown for a loop.
Okay. And so you actually decided to go to the District of Criminals with your message that we must ban vaccines, and it's amazing that you did that, first of all, because, you know, my view's always been you can't go to the Fox to complain about what's happening to the chickens. But you actually had an amazing experience, so I'll let you take it away, and please tell the listeners what you experienced.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want you to know that I have a local resolution in the hopper being fine-tuned through the local city council to ban vaccines 2013. I have failed at the state level many times, but I do work with a group here to at least maintain choice, you know, because that's about as far as I've been able to get at the state level. But much to my amazement, at the federal level, I have found, and we have all found, a friend. And how this came about was I was watching the autism hearings from November 2012, and I listened to each and every person's questions. They were questioning the CDC and the NIH, which is the Center for Disease Control and the National Institute of Health, and both of the people from there said plainly, we're not vaccine experts, and this was an autism hearing. So if you can imagine sending people with who are not experts, and one of them was a doctor, but neither of them were experts, self-admitted non-experts, okay?
Right. But anyway, what the heck are you doing there, of course, but go ahead.
Well, there were a lot of people who spoke out. I can think of readily Maloney and Meehan. These are Congress people on the Oversight Committee. And Elijah Cummings spoke out. Really, I thought they did a really great job. However, there was a congressman who I was unfamiliar with by the name of Bill Posey. And Bill Posey made a lot of informed comments, asked a lot of questions that indicated he was informed even while asking questions, and then eventually, in terms of Thorsten and his research that has yielded that that vaccines and autism have no relationship to one another and has been touted by the industry up, down, and sideways, he's on the run, one of the 25 most wanted of the FBI, I understand, from Age of Autism, that he is currently in Denmark awaiting extradition. And this is an old article. Well, if they've got them, come on, bring them on over. We have a lot of autism mothers who would like to meet them. However,
okay, hold on, Sally. The music means we're going to a break. It's a 3-minute break. We'll be back after the messages, and I'll have you continue your amazing story. We'll be right back, folks. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer to the conspiracy of silence regarding vaccine damage with my special guest, Sally Alcordi. And I just want to mention that this Thorensen research fraud person, actually, it's one of the few times that somebody was actually found to have committed research fraud. And if I remember correctly, Posey actually called him a scumbag when he was asking questions of the two non-knowers of autism that were there to talk about autism. And I forget the male's name, the doctor, but he made up some excuse that, well, you know, he was just one researcher, you know, out of many. So he tried to blow that off as if it didn't matter.
Well, he came back and he said he took part in 21 of your 24 researchers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that was pretty staggering. He said, you realize that he actually came back to say that. His time had been spent. And then he came back and he actually yelled at them for wasting his time when he was asking one question about had they done a vaccinated versus unvaccinated study. And the woman Boyle from the CDC went on, and then eventually answered the question. He said, well, thanks for wasting my time. He said, so the answer is no. Okay, thanks for wasting my time. So I really appreciated his level of fury, you know, and I thought, I have somebody who gets it. He may not understand the role that measles plays in autism versus thimerosal, as you do, Rebecca Carley, and I certainly brought your literature with me to the office. But nonetheless, he understands that there is a terrible plot afoot, and he is incensed at the callous disregard, basically. So I went after, you know, I was inviting everybody to celebrate the Oversight Committee for taking this step towards linking vaccines to autism, and to then say, will you sponsor my bill, Ban Vaccines 2013? So I was very forthcoming in terms of what I wanted of them while celebrating them. And it turns out that evening, I had checked to make sure everybody was in town, that Congress was in session. But finally, somebody, after refusing the invitation, about the sixth invitation that came through, Posey's office said, we have a vote that night. I said, well, thank you very much, but we would like to meet with you. And I said, fantastic. So I couldn't have been happier. I emailed them six times and to get this. And now, mind you, I had all kinds of things that were detrimental to my succeeding that all of a sudden happened to me. For example, my bank card didn't work. So I didn't know if I was going to be able to get down there because I couldn't get gas with the bank card. And the night before I left, there was, now this, of course, is black helicopter people build a helicopter over my house for about 1 to 2 hours at 2 in the morning, just hovering over my house. Mm-hmm. Then my blog went down, my Billion Toddler March for Survival.blogspot.com. Half of the information on it disappeared. And my computer was live, yet I couldn't get access to the Internet. That's a first. And also, when I returned home after this adventure, I don't know if your listeners are aware of what chemwebs are, but I've had chemwebs on my back porch. And I'm also an anti-chemtrail activist. I have set that aside to just concentrate on banning vaccines. I've set every other issue aside except this one, because if there was one issue I care most about, is I was talking to my local legislator, with whom I have several four resolutions in the hopper. I said, you know, the most important, all of these things could happen and eventually will happen, but what's happening right now today is the Hep B vaccine is killing four infants at NYU Hospital and at Roosevelt Hospital, and none of this is being reported. And as we sit here, these children are dying. None of this is being reported because the pharmaceutical companies run the hospitals, and they will not allow the doctors to associate an infant death to a vaccine. And one of the things I really appreciated about Posey is that he had said, out of 34 developed nations, we are number one in infant mortality. And that we give the most vaccines, and the country with the lowest rate of infant mortality gives the least vaccine. And this is something I had been discussing with my neighbors because I certainly want them to wake up. I want everyone to wake up. When I walk the dog, I hand out cards with valuable websites on them, and I always include reversing vaccine-induced diseases because if their child is already harmed, I don't want to just scare people. I want to give them some sort of solution, you know? And I also show them how to get exemptions where they live. So I try to make it as informative as possible.
Hold on. There's that pesky music again. We're going to another short break. We'll be right back. And yes, Sally is one of my heroes as well for the activism that she's put out there. We all have to do something. Don't just sit back and wait for others to do something, people. If you care about your children and your pets, you better get on board. We'll be right back. And we're back with Failing America. We're answering today's conspiracy of silence regarding vaccine damage with my special guest, Sally Alcordi. Please continue from where you left off, Sally.
Well, I kind of interrupted myself when I was saying that when I got home, there were chemwebs on the two chairs I sit in out back, as well as at the top of the stairs, where I'd have to go through them in order to go down the stairs.
So I have not heard that term, chemwebs. Is that just where I know that there's different places where chemtrails are being sprayed, where there's like this gelatinous material that shows up all over cars and such. Is that what you're referring to?
No, I'm referring to thin strips that are that shine. They look like spider webs, except they're shiny and they're not in a spider web form. They're just long, thin strings that, when the sun shines, they hit them. And this is brings on more gelins, I'm to understand. So they were strategically placed this time. Usually they're on my back porch, but not on my neighbor's back porch. Okay, but this time they were exactly where I sit and exactly at the top of the stairs that I would have to go through to get down. So it was kind of weird. But what's really new is feeling that I had a heart attack four times before I even met with this legislator. I had, like, just the most acute pain in my heart four times. One while I was training the people who had met me there to, to what to say to the legislators and the information that I wanted them to bring to them. And then several more times to the point where when the legislator, the chief of staff, Stuart Burns, he's a conversational all by himself. Just to say how thrilled I was to meet someone who had been investigating vaccines for 14 years. There was so much, we discussed so many issues because we didn't have to waste time on things that people who are unaware would need to waste. You know what I'm saying? He's just so on top of it. And he was so relieved to meet me and anxious and happy to meet me. I've never met anyone who so genuinely thrilled to meet me. And he wanted to know what my stake in all of this was. And I said, I'm on a mission of mercy. I am in this to prevent children from dying and from becoming mentally retarded. So that's, and all the rest of it, all the other things that happen as a result of vaccines. But, so that's where he wanted to start with me. But I just want to, I'm not trying to discourage people from taking action, because everything I've said thus far between censorship and all kinds of extraneous other, you know, bank card not working, et cetera, computer not working, heart attacks, I mean, SamWeb. It sounds like I'm discouraging people, but basically there has to be something that you recognize as so important that your well-being is truly secondary. Rebecca Carley has taken this position in regard to vaccines, and thusly have I. You know, you just have to say, I'm not willing to put up with this attack on babies. And I just want to say that the anthrax vaccine is a blessing in disguise. They have, Obama has been trying to get this researched since 2010, I believe. I've seen articles about it 2010, 11, and 12. And I really do want to discuss that as well, Rebecca, if I may. The hearing.
Before we do, though, I just want to say, yes. I haven't had the ChemWeb thing, but I've had all the rest of it. I'm convinced there was, when I lived in New York, I was getting like chest pain every morning at 3 a.m. And I realized that there was a neighbor that was hitting me with frequency weapons. And when I mentioned it on my public access TV show, it all of a sudden stopped. But the way I look at this is that this just goes to show that we're right over the target. And as I always say on my show, we're already dead. Okay, they have so many ways they're killing us. So what are we going to do to stop it? And I totally agree with you. Vaccines are the one thing. We can stop vaccines, or at the very least, educate enough parents that they say, no, we're not going to do this. And that's why, you know, this is my main issue as well. But go ahead if you want to talk about the situation with the anthrax vaccine trials on infants. Of course, this is amazing, right in our face, that he appointed a bioethics committee. The idea that a bioethics committee would come up with a conclusion, yeah, let's use the children as lab rats. I mean, this is a violation of the Nuremberg Code at the very least. But I agree with you. This fact, and from what you told me after your experience with the congressman aide who had other people in the office there as well, that the intern was like shocked and horrified to even hear this. They don't even know what's going on.
Well, the chief of staff did, but quite frankly, he was saying what's different now, because he worked as a researcher under Congressman Weldon for 14 years before Bill Posey, and now he's the chief of staff under Bill Posey. And he was saying what's different now, because we've tried this before, everybody thinks that this has been put to rest. What's different now? I said, well, I'm consistently conducting a study because I am consistently talking to parents. And one of the issues is that from one Halloween to the next, because of Marianne Hollinsworth Green of truthaboutartificial.org and I started October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month, and I chose a black ribbon because I couldn't think of anything more appropriate than a black ribbon. And so the Halloween before last, I had given out 300 flyers to, I get a lot of traffic for Halloween. And I mean, people come from other neighborhoods to go Halloweening here. So we get a huge amount of traffic, and I had given out all 300 of my flyers, and I had also given out stickers from the Vaccine Liberation Army, which is a skull, and instead of two crossbones, it's two crossed vaccine needles. And you know Eileen Daneman, who runs the Vaccine Liberation Army. So anyway, basically what happened the second year, I was looking, you know, this is my big day. I was really anxious for this day to come, even though I educate people every day. They were coming to me for a change. So the second year, they came. I saw this little witch's hat bobbing down the street, pulling a cat, which was her mother. But the child was so small that I could not see her. So when she passed all of these decorated houses and then turned up my walkway, marched directly up to my door, and which I was kind of surprised that she passed all these opportunities to trick-or-treat, but okay, you know. And I said, well, welcome. Happy Halloween. I have vaccine injury stickers for you. And she took them, she looked at them, and she said, yes. and then she must have been 3 years old, four tops, okay? She stretched up to her mother with this sticker and said, "See!" Like, infuriated. And then I handed her, that was kind of stunning to me. And I handed her mother, I said, "I have a flyer about that injury for you." And she says, "I was expecting it." I said, "You were?" And she said, "You gave me one last year." I said, "Okay." So but over the course of the evening, people would be driving up, parking in front of my house, getting out with their vaccine-injured children. And I didn't really kind of catch on to everything that was going on until the end of the evening. And then I would give them my spiel, hand them a flyer, give the kids the stickers, and they would be looking at me like I was some kind of a prophet, you know? But I'm looking at their kids thinking, these children are so vastly damaged. Glory be to God. It was Halloween night for me, let me tell you, in the most real way. And one child looked like she was not going to be long for this world. And, right. And I realized, as they did not then go trick-or-treating, they all just got back in the car, that they had come to see me. And I was kind of blown away. I was so upset by the end of the evening, having seen all these vaccine-injured children. And the kids who didn't come back to see me, I was finding that all the boys had already received the HPV vaccine, all the young boys. They'd already inoculated them with it.
Wait a minute. The people that had been at your house the year before and gotten your information and your flyers, etc., still continued to vaccinate?
Well, that's why they came back. They didn't listen to me, you see? They thought, this woman's on to something. I want to see what else she has to say.
Okay.
That's really what was going on, because they were so respectful. I was like, boy, this is bizarre, you know? And last year I went around the neighborhood picking up flyers that people had discarded so I wouldn't litter the neighborhood. And this year, last year I found about 25 of them, and this year I found 3. So, and I know when I was I went to my sister's house when everything died down here, and I handed a flyer to a fellow just walking down the street with a stroller, and instead of challenging me or getting mad at me, as so often has happened over the years, he said, "Great, thanks!" And I thought, what a difference you make. Unfortunately, for all the wrong reasons. It's not because I got through to them. It's because their own children are now injured, and they are grateful for information. And I met a woman, you need to hear this, your listenership needs to hear this. I try when I go to stores to wait till people come out of stores to approach them, because I don't want to use people's place of business to bum people out, you know? And so I was in a pizza parlor, and this woman, and I saw a little girl, but she was completely normal, and she was with her mother and her grandmother. And I thought, I have to kind of not give anything out until they leave, and then I will do that. And the grandmother comes over to me and starts to play with my hair. So I'm like, great, now she's in my... And I said, well, I'm having a world gathering for health this Sunday, and it's about vaccinations, and I hope you will come. And her daughter looked furious. And I thought, there is a reaction. And it turns out she has 5 grandchildren. 4 of them are autistic. 4 out of 5 of her grandchildren are autistic. The one that is not, by then they had waited till all the disinformation, not even misinformation, disinformation. They're deliberately misinforming people. And by then they, no matter what the doctor said, they're like, no, this child was normal before the vaccine, you know, but it took 4 children to fall before the 5th one was spared. It's a nightmare.
Yes.
So,
and I just want to make a suggestion. For this Halloween, you might want to have included in your handout a list of ingredients in the witch's brew. Because that's so...
Oh, I do. We have the ingredients. We have the diseases that result. We have reversing vaccine-induced diseases.
But I'm just saying, to call it a witch's brew, that's very appropriate for Halloween. But go ahead.
Right. So true. Good idea. I always tell people it's the eye of Newt would be an improvement over what's in them. But, yes, exactly, right. Which is true. But, anyway, so, oh, boy. So, where are we? I guess let's get back to Representative Posey, because the gentleman I was speaking with wanted to know, you know, what's different this year. I said, well, what's different this year is people have woken up for all the wrong reasons, and we have this fabulous anthrax vaccine. Everyone knows that anthrax is bad for you. Certainly after 9/11, when the anthrax came through on a letter, they closed down the whole post office, and hazmat suits were brought in. I mean, we know anthrax is bad. So, and as you say, according to the legislative assistant, her reaction, I said to him, look, her reaction, isn't this great? People get this, you know, even though mercury, you would assume people would get, or aluminum or what have you, anthrax is just the ticket. This is the one we've been waiting for. So, and now let me tell you about the actual hearing or meeting. Turns out I heard about this on February 13th. I found out it was going down at a Florida college. And I wrote to all my friends in Florida and said, please, can someone attend it, you know? But it was very short notice, and I was unable to get anyone to attend it. And so somebody sent me a link to the live proceedings on the 15th, and where they recapped what transpired on the 14th, okay, and then continued from there. But what was important is they never mentioned the word anthrax during the whole time on the 15th. And it was amazing how they could talk so much about it and never actually use the word anthrax. But also what they were very concerned with had nothing to do with well-being of children, needless to say, because that would have been a farce. I say, what are you testing it for? To see if it takes 2 or 3 seconds for the child to die? That must be what the real test is. You know, how many seconds? So what they did discuss, as shameful as it is how to coerce parents into signing that their child can be a test subject, to get someone to witness beyond the person coercing, to get a witness that the parents had signed, to use hospital workers. They said, we need to get people who have no vested interest, which would, what, the anthrax manufacturer, the populace who has a vested interest there, to witness this or to coerce people. So they decided hospital workers would be good. And, of course, they have a vested interest in keeping their jobs. And we know that every single day they inoculate children knowing full well what's happening to them. So, obviously, their jobs
are important. Wait, and let me just interrupt to say, and how do we know that they know full well? Because when they started coming out with policies that all hospital employees have to be vaccinated, all of a sudden there was a huge uprising. They didn't want to be vaccinated themselves. And that's how we know that they know. But go ahead.
No, I thank you for bringing that up, because they kept saying, the healthcare workers, that it was an issue of civil liberty. I'm like, really? Then you should be up in arms about the TSA. Wow, if it's really about civil liberties. Let's talk about the TSA, shall we? You know, no, it's not. They know what's in it. They know what it's doing to the people they're inoculating. And Rima Leyva now has a healthcare worker's oath that you will never inoculate somebody. And I asked all the people here in New York State if they would sign that, all the healthcare workers, because I was covering that protest with Sue Fields and the healthcare workers who didn't want to take H1N1 here. And this is before I knew what was in the vaccine, and Judge Diamond had called them back to court, or to the Manhattan Supreme Court, because she wanted to talk about the science. And I was ecstatic. I was like, oh, wow. You know, they're going to have, I said to the healthcare workers, where do you think she's going with this? Like, how is
okay, hold on, hold on. We're going to a break. We'll be right back, and I'll have you finish with that. Hold
what
on,
do
folks.
You need?
Sally O'Cordy, and I just want to say that it's very important for people to realize the layers of lies as to what's going on. I did watch that entire, or listen to that entire interview that you sent me with Paul Offit, so I want to get into that at some point. But please continue to tell us about your experiences with the legislator, because obviously you gave them all the evidence they need. But from what you had told me, they wanted you to get your representative on board. Of course, the problem is that you actually ran against that representative, Carolyn Mahoney, right?
So, no, not Carolyn Mahoney. No, not Carolyn. I would not have run against her.
Who did you run against?
I ran against Grace Meng. I was just running, but I basically thought to myself, shall I stay in this race or not? And I checked to see if she accepted money from Pharma, which she did. So I said, okay, I'm in.
There you go. Okay. All right,
and
so
that's
continue.
What I'm doing right now. I'm trying to find the voting record of the fellow I'll be challenging for public advocate, and if he has voted in favor of vaccinating children without parental consent, I'm staying in this race too, you know. But I'm still out. The jury's out on that one, but I will find out in time for signatures. However,
Let me just say. I would encourage you to check out the record of Judge Diamond in terms of Judge Diamond's donors as well, because pretty much all of these minions are being given money by Big Pharma, and that's why I don't trust any of them.
Quite frankly, she had called for scientific information. That was then canceled. That never the follow up on that never happened. So
okay.
I thought it was very brave of her to say, I want the science. Why are you objecting? What is the science involved? And I was ecstatic. But that never came to pass, and I can't tell you why. I mean, you can presume why, because if the science is being called for, that would end that discussion forthwith, right?
Right.
So anyway, I just want to finish a couple of other things in regard to the anthrax meeting. Both you and I have our ear to the ground, and neither of us knew about this. When they did the recap of and congratulated themselves and laughed and giggled and were all smiles, it was revealed that they had had many, many meetings. One at Harvard. The woman who headed it up, Amy Gutman, is the president of the University of Pennsylvania. And so here they were meeting in posh surrounds. And, you know, when I did the vaccine reality tour across New York State to educate the constituents of the legislators who are increasing and mandating vaccines, as well as pediatricians and students and parents, you know, everybody's got to be onto it, we couldn't find one place, except for New York, where I always book this room for a multitude of events. So they didn't care what I was talking about, and Gary Knowles kicked it off, and I salute him for doing that, because his opening line was, all vaccines are bad. And I thought, well, that certainly complements all vaccines are banned. So nonetheless, I tried to get into 150 different church basements, non-profit organizations, veterans halls, you name it, and all I wanted to talk about was, I didn't want to talk. I just wanted to have parents of Bartosil injured and autism parents speak about their child before and after vaccination.
Okay, hold on. This is a short break. We'll continue this after the break. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back.